Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned right here on WMAF for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I hope that theme song is becoming familiar to you, because if it is, it means that you are a consistent listener right here to this radio station, to this radio broadcast. And if you are, that means you are participating with us in a sequential study of subjects, the great subjects of the Bible. And I want to remind you of a scripture today, something the Bible said about what we're getting ready to do and embark upon in just a few moments. It said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the scripture you might have hope. And I want to reiterate today, amen, that there are no hopeless cases with God. There are no hopeless circumstances or situations with God. For the Bible said the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Hallelujah. Amen. There's some things that I can't figure out and I can't get out of and I could never change, but I serve a God of the impossible. He doesn't know that word. It's not in His vocabulary. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I love this other scripture too. It doesn't just talk about God knowing no limits and nothing impossible with God, but the Bible said there's nothing impossible to him that believeth. And we want to encourage faith in a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. I'll tell you, when we get our faith and our God hooked up together, and our faith in our God literally hooked up together, mighty wonderful things will happen. And we want them to happen to you today. Praise God. One of the greatest things that can happen to you, if you're listening now and you haven't received Christ as your Savior, the greatest miracle, that impossible situation of sin's chains in your life can be broken today by the wonderful God of grace and love that we serve. So please stay tuned if you're not a Christian. We invite you to listen to the reason for our hope, for the reason of all of this gospel music that you've just heard right here on WMAF. Gospel means good news, and we want to bring you that good news that inspired every song of hope, every song of praise that has ever been written. Hallelujah. There's a reason for all of this hope, and we're going to bring it to you today directly from the Word of God in just a few moments. If you would like to come to our website and download any recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus or any of the sermon materials, we would be very happy that you came. No strings attached. Just type in THCOG and it will take you to the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida. My name is Pastor, and right now it's Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and we would be so happy if you would come. Many are coming from all over the United States and all over the world, all the way from Africa to the Arctic. People are downloading from Asia to the United Kingdom, and we're so very grateful for all of you that come and hear the gospel through our website. Praise God. Amen. Listen very carefully as we read from Revelation chapter 1 on a subject that makes the devil tremble and should make every Christian rejoice and be bold and courageous in our faith. Revelation chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. It says, "And John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him that is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness unto the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and to his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." We used to sing that great Christian hymn. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You see, the Bible said we were washed from our sins in His own blood. And that phrase, the blood of Christ, refers to the work of Jesus, literally the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Blood has and always will represent judgment, the judgment for our sins, while Christ was bearing them on the cross. The death of the animal in the Old Testament sacrifice was kind of an analogy to the death of Christ on the cross. It represented that Jesus would do and accomplish and consummate at Calvary. And without Jesus coming and consummating that on Calvary, those sacrifices would have had absolutely no bearing, no meaning. The Bible simply said, without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. Why, preacher? Because God is a holy and a just God. He can't just look over our sin, as I've said so many times on this broadcast. He can't sweep them under the rug. He can't just have a blanket pardon for fallen man. Sin must be judged. And a righteous judge cannot just absolve us of our sins without adjudicating judgment first. And how in the world would God solve man's greatest dilemma, that we've all sinned and come short of His glory and He's obligated to judge us, but in His great heart of love and grace, He wants to forgive us and reconcile us to Himself? The answer is that God hath provided a lamb. God hath provided a lamb. We used to sing that great song, Sing Hallelujah. It's actually a chorus, a celebration of the sacrifice of Jesus in our behalf. Sing Hallelujah, for God hath provided a lamb. God provided a sacrifice lamb in the person of His only begotten Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that our sins may be truly judged and judgment adjudicated, but our sins judged on Him and in Him and not upon us. And that is why this gospel is called a gospel of grace, a gospel of such great love. Amen. Every animal sacrifice in the Old Covenant spoke of the work of Christ at the cross in type and foreshadow. The Bible literally said when John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming unto him in John 1 and verse 29, the book of John, it said that in the New Testament, it said he cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And in Isaiah 53:7, amen, it said he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. You see, friend, the animal had done nothing wrong, but was judged anyway. In the judgment, the animal died in another's behalf. Jesus Christ had done nothing wrong. In fact, he was sinless, absolutely, impeccably sinless. In his judgment, the sins of the whole world were poured out on him. So the phrase, the blood of Christ, sets up a representative analogy with the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. The work of Jesus Christ was presented in days of old, in ancient times, by means of these ceremonial sacrifices. And once this Lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, was sacrificed, there was no need for any more sacrifices. He was the last Lamb. Hallelujah. When he cried, "It is finished," tetelestai, it was one word, and it was used when in ancient times when someone paid off a parcel of land and it was stamped, paid in full. There was one word that represented that. It was the word tetelestai. And Jesus cried, "Tetelestai, on the cross means it is finished, it's consummated, and salvation is now achieved and acquired. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ just sealed the deal. It meant that God accepted that blood, that sinless blood in our behalf. Praise God. He was raised for our justification. So I'm going to tell you something today. This message of the blood is one of the most feared messages in hell and one of the most favored and is the most favored message in heaven. Praise God. Satan should tremble at the message of the cross because in it he was defeated. Praise God, and in it we have been delivered. There's always been enemies of the cross, and there's always been those who would suppress the message of the blood of Jesus because it has such power to save. And I read this recently, and this was some years ago when a large religious service was being conducted at the Golden Gate Exposition in San Francisco. Many people quickly became aware that the minister delivering the main address was not very orthodox. Although a gifted speaker, he began to direct most of his eloquence against the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Ruth E. Martson relates that when his fluent oratory ended, and I quote, "A timid elderly lady stood up in the midst of the crowd and softly began to sing a great hymn by William Cowper. As a touching rebuttal to the modernist remarks, a hush fell over the assembly as they heard those faint but familiar words, 'There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains.'" Before she could begin the second stanza, approximately 100 people rose to join her. By the time she reached the third verse, nearly 1,000 Christians all over the audience were singing that blessed song of faith. The triumphant, thrilling strains ran out loud and clear. "Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." Many were deeply moved as that humble believer stood up for her Lord and with the light of heaven upon her face gave testimony that she had found peace through the blood of his cross. Friends, we live in a very sad hour today, an hour in which many, both within and without the church, see no need for old-fashioned, Bible-centered, blood-bought salvation. They say things like, and I'm quoting here, "Man doesn't need the blood in order to be saved." We live in a time when many mainline denominations have moved to proclaiming a social gospel instead of a gospel proclaiming salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. Some have even gone so far as to remove songs dealing with the blood of Jesus from their modernistic liberal hymnals. But listen to this quote from a female theologian, a current theologian. "I don't think we need a theory of atonement at all. I don't think we need folks hanging on crosses and blood dripping and weird stuff." I want to tell you something very clearly today. This is not weird stuff. This is the greatest act of love that a person could ever do in our behalf. This is the greatest act of love that our Creator, our God, could ever do in our behalf, to give His only begotten Son as a sacrifice lamb so that sinners like you and sinners like me could be saved, could be delivered, so He wouldn't have to judge us, so that He wouldn't have to banish us from heaven, so He wouldn't have to punish us eternally. Oh, the mighty grace and love that flows down from that old rugged cross. I tell you, when I read things like this, it makes my blood boil. Amen. It makes me want to proclaim and shout from the housetops the mighty message that is in the Scripture, the truth of the blood of Jesus and what is accomplished. No wonder the devil wants to pollute that message. He wants to dampen that message. He relies like to destroy that message. Ah, but I stand right alongside the Apostle Paul who wrote to the church at Corinth. And he said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus and Him crucified. And he said, if I'm going to glory, if I'm going to boast in anything, I will glory in the cross of Jesus Christ, that whereby I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to read you another scripture here. I mean, there's just so many today, but our time is fleeting. Let's talk about being blood-bought and blood washed today as Christians. Our standing with God today, our right standing with Him, amen, is based squarely on the merits of the shed blood of Jesus. The Bible said our salvation, friend, is not of our works in and of their self. It can't do it, can't save you. I'm sorry. I wish that I could tell you that you could be good enough, because there's so many people that think they are. But I'm telling you right now, the Bible said we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. And then it reiterates, because some people think they themselves are, or they know someone who is. And the Bible said, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. But we can have that standing that we cannot earn, that right standing with God, being right wise with God, hallelujah, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me read it to you from Revelation 7:13 through 15. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sits upon the throne shall dwell among them. Praise God. Amen. I want to give you a quote today. Amen. Listen, before I give you that quote, let's think about those white robes. What is going to give you and me the right to put on a robe that is absolutely pure and white, not tarnished by any spot at all of sin? Where does that kind of purity come from? Well, I can't weave my own robe of righteousness. It's something that has to be granted me. And the Bible said that it is granted one way, and that is when we trust, repent of our sins, and trust Christ as our Savior. Amen. We can wear a robe that is not our own righteousness, but it's His robe. It's His righteousness. That's why the devil can't continue to accuse us before His throne, because it's not our robe. It's God's robe. It's His righteousness. You know, the Apostle Paul said, in being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which comes by the law. In other words, not by keeping the law in perfection, never sinning, never having to repent of sin, never missing the mark at all. No one can do that. But he said, I can put my trust in Jesus, repent of my sin, and I can be granted a robe that is unspotted, untarnished, absolutely pure. Something that God will not judge me, amen, for, and something that Satan cannot accuse me for. I like Revelation chapter 12, because in that great chapter it says, now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him by becoming sinlessly perfect. No, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. Praise God. Amen. I want to read you something from a Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great preacher of old, and I want to tell you that I wholeheartedly agree with this statement. Amen. Listen to what he said. Although the pulpit is intended to be a pedestal for the cross, Even the cross itself is sometimes used as a mere pedestal for the preacher's fame. By the way, my pulpit just so happens to be a cross. But listen to what he said. We may roll the thunders of eloquence. We may scatter the flowers of poetry. We may diffuse the light of science. We may enforce the precepts of morality from the pulpit. But if we do not make Christ the great subject of our preaching, we've forgotten our errand and shall do no good. Satan trembles at nothing but the cross. At this, though, he does tremble. And if we would destroy his power and extend that holy and benevolent kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, it must be by means of the cross. You see, the preaching of the cross is simply that Jesus Christ hung on that cross and shed his blood and died in our behalf, judged for our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I love this quote from Oswald Chambers. He said, "All heaven is interested in the cross of Jesus Christ. All hell is terribly afraid of it. While men are the only beings who more or less ignore its meaning." You see, the cross stimulates great interest and joy in the presence of angels in heaven. And in hell it strikes terror. But so many people seem oblivious to what Jesus has done on the cross. And I would like to say that it's only people that haven't come to the saving knowledge of Jesus and understand, appreciate, and appropriate his precious blood daily in their life and walk with God. But there are many Christians who have seemingly not grasped the joy and the power and the preciousness of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. There should be no greater stimulant to praise and devotion than the blood of Jesus. The suffering and death of Jesus on the cross, the shedding of that precious blood, makes me want to praise him with every ounce of my strength and energy and to serve him in a deep, devoted life. I want to reciprocate the love that's been given to me so freely and so fully by one so great and mighty who owed me nothing, but to whom I owe everything. Oh, how I love Jesus is not just a little Sunday school ditty for the Sunday school department. Every heart of every Christian should sing that anthem, and it should be genuinely from the heart today. Every time we come to church and we open our hymnal and we begin to sing the merits of his cross and his blood sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. We are declaring publicly that our sins are forgiven because of his wonderful act of benevolent grace and love expressed in his Son, our sacrifice lamb on the cross, Jesus Christ. We declare the power and preciousness of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for each and every one of us. Praise God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty Savior Jesus Christ is. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." There's no symbol better known around the world than the symbol of Christian victory that symbolizes Christian victory than the cross of Jesus Christ. We know when Jesus was nailed to that cross, our sins were nailed to it. Literally and spiritually. Amen. When he was literally nailed, our sins were spiritually nailed there with him. That record of our sins, that indictment against us, destroyed, made null and void at Calvary. Colossians chapter 2 verse 14 says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us." He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. back in that day. All of the crimes and all of the accusations and judgments against the criminal was written on a piece of paper. And if they were found to be not guilty or acquitted, that piece of paper was symbolically nailed to a piece of wood. It was nailed, and it meant that it has been canceled. Praise God. Amen. Acquitted. Sin's debt was no longer owed. And the apostle is telling us very clearly that all of the accusations of God and all of God's knowledge of our sin has been nailed to the cross when Jesus allowed himself to be nailed, because he took our sins. They were transferred to him, and he was judged in our behalf that we might be made something we don't deserve, could never earn. The righteousness of God in him. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Today, amen, the blood of Jesus has been shed for you. Right where you are today, you can know Christ as your personal Savior. Right where you are today, you can be saved. No matter how deeply steeped in sin you may be, how many habits hold you in chains of iron that you cannot break. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus was shed for you at Calvary. And the blood of Jesus, whether you respond to the call to salvation or not, the blood of Jesus lays claim upon you. But God cannot apply that blood to your life until you receive Christ as your Savior. But the price, my friend, has been paid in full for you to be forgiven, for you to be delivered, for you to be set free, for you to become a son of God. Not just an old sinner saved by grace, but brought into God's royal family to show how greatly accepted you are through the blood of Jesus. The Bible said, what manner of love is this that we might be called the sons of God? I'm preaching a series to our congregation right now on what kind of love is this. Hallelujah. Amen. There was an old pop song that said, what kind of love is this that makes me want to jump and shout? What kind of love is this that turns my whole life inside out? Well, we've taken that, amen, from the pop value and kind of used that phrase from that song to say, boy, this is, to me, makes me want to jump and shout. This message of the blood of Jesus turned my whole life inside out, because I'm one of those sinners that have been saved by grace. I'm a recipient of the benefits of the shed blood of Jesus on that old rugged cross. And it is my great joy to invite you to come to know him today. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to know that you can be saved today. If you'll change your mind, God would change your life. He just needs that entrance in. He needs that door to come open. He needs you to pray a prayer called the sinner's prayer, so he can apply the blood of Jesus to your life, the merits of his shed blood. And all you need to do today is be sorry for your sin and be ready to repent and act on that readiness. Change your mind about your sin. Change the road that you're on. Turn around. Do an about face. That's what repentance means. And say, Lord, I'm sorry I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. I repent today. Come into my heart. Apply the blood of Jesus. And today God will deliver you, forgive you, set you free, accept you as his own child, and confess your name before the angels of heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus will confess you before the Father, and all heaven will rejoice. If you're a Christian today, stand in your standing. Take courage. Amen. And come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.
there.